You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the Super Bowl winning show. It is Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with the Kate Middleton investigator, Michelle Smallman, the Super Bowl champion, Chris Canty. I am Evan Cohen. We are in the midst of the Tournament Challenge, by the way. Go to the Tournament Challenge app, download it. You can fill out up to 25 men's and women's brackets. Over 11 million people have done it so far. Good morning, everybody. You really are on Kate Middleton watch right now. The photo goes viral yesterday. Maybe it's her. Maybe it's not her. And now you have actually wrangled in the rest of the show, too, because now Nuno is in on it, our producer.
Yeah, Nuno's the one who sent the photo to the group chat. We're all invested in this.
What do you think?
Why doesn't it look like her? Why doesn't it look like her? And also, if she's happy and healthy, I'm so pleased with that. God bless her. But if you're happy and healthy walking around at the farmer's market, then why did the palace say that you were too ill recovering from surgery to post a real photo or to be able to show proof of life or do anything?
Cece, I think Smalls has you wrangled in on this too. I think you're now in on this.
Yeah, I mean, the reports are out there that the photo that she sent out there that was doctored was because she wanted to retouch the picture because she knew it would be scrutinized. That didn't necessarily pass the smell test to me. And I go back to something that Tom Brady said in Man versus Man in the Arena. He said that if you find yourself on the explaining side, you're usually on the losing side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like that's where the palace is at this point. It feels like that's where the crown is. Like, they're doing a whole lot of explaining about the absence of Kate Middleton.
Also, who do they think they are? Like, there is no way that the royal family would let Kate Middleton edit a photo herself and upload it. This is not her personal account at PrincessKate125. This is the royal account. They have dozens of people that are working on stuff like this at all times. There's no way that they're just going to let her go rogue and upload whatever she wants.
So this is bigger than a mommy makeover?
This is
bigger. This ain't like a BBL going wild type of situation.
Although that would be hilarious. Not that would be hilarious, but if that was the reason for all this, we're speculating on her health and she just had some elective surgery to feel good about herself.
Prince William is about that life. You know, got to do what I got to do.
Hey, whatever makes you happy, I guess.
So I just want to be clear, just to make sure we provide the context for this, right? So Kate Middleton, we don't know where she is. She may be 100% fine, hopefully, God willing.
Yeah.
There's a picture that goes viral of her walking around a farmer's market yesterday after just not being seen for months, and we think she's just at the farmer's market. And then you see the picture, and it looks nothing like her.
Nothing.
And then somehow I saw Katie Holmes trending with this, which, what does she have anything to do with this?
Well.
Uh-oh, did I just go down another path?
I don't know
if you did.
I think that Katie Holmes was in a relationship and she got out of it.
Yeah.
And so there's people are
wondering. Oh, they're doing the compare the contrast. Yeah. Got it. Okay. I'm like, because I've seen Katie Holmes
a
million times.
How do I say this delicately?
No, I'm just saying I've seen Katie Holmes a million times on the street. She's not missing. She lives right by where you and I, well, used to live in that area.
Oh, she's in Upper West Side?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, didn't know
I've seen her a million times. Okay. I'm like, she's not missing. I've seen her.
Okay.
So I'm now confirming proof of life for Katie Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know a proof of life for John Collins after last night, unfortunately.
That is a hell of a transition.
Professional.
Wow. But Anthony Edwards for the Minnesota Timberwolves had the dunk of the year, the dunk of the century, the dunk of our lifetime, maybe, as he just took off in a win against the Jazz last night. And he took off and dunked over John Collins in a way that I don't know that we have ever seen. He basically at 6 foot five, and as a 6 foot four, kind of jumped over-ish John Collins, 6 foot nine forward for the Utah Jazz. We're showing it on ESPN2, and it is remarkable. So much so that John Collins got hurt during this dunk, unfortunately, and so did Anthony Edwards, that he injured everybody. It was such a wild, crazy dunk that everyone got hurt as a result of it.
Yeah, but he popped his dislocated finger back in and kept giving the Utah Jazz that worked last night. I mean, this guy is absolutely a monster. 25 of his 32 points were scored in the second half. So we talk a lot about competitive greatness, being at your best when your best is required. Well, this dude is starting to figure it out. And he's got everything in his bag, whether it's shooting it from distance, whether it's the mid-post, elbow extended. He's dominant. He can get down on the block if need be. I mean, he's just unbelievable in terms of what he's able to do on the offensive end, but what takes his game to the next level and what puts him in the rarefied air is how locked in he is defensively and how he sets the tone for that entire team. Now, you got to remember, they were missing a lot of guys in their front court. Naz Reid got banged up in that game. Rudy Gobert's been banged up. KAT is out for a while, but yet this team still was able to generate 27 points off of 17 turnovers by the Utah Jazz. And Anthony Edwards is a big reason why. I mean, the way that they lock down on the defensive end and the way that Ant-Man is able to elevate his play seemingly out of nowhere in order to change the momentum, I just think this is a team that you've got to watch as a true contender, a true challenger to the Denver Nuggets. And the reason why is because they got the future face of the league in Anthony Edwards.
I'm glad you said that, because we've talked a lot about passing the baton in the NBA and who's the upcoming face of the NBA. Once LeBron is no longer in the league, who is that guy? We thought it would be Giannis. We've talked about it potentially being Wemby. I think it's Anthony Edwards. I think he's right there. LeBron talked about it at the All-Star break about SGA and Anthony Edwards and how they're kind of this next wave of young superstar. But this guy is must-see TV every single night. He is a name on the marquee that people want to go see, and he is just continues to get better and better and better.
For those listening on the radio side right now, the dunk, almost picture the Jumpman logo. Mm-hmm. The Michael Jordan Jumpman logo with one arm in the air, both legs kind of spread out a little bit, like almost like a triangle kind of look. I mean, it's just remarkable what he was able to do last night in that dunk over John Collins.
And he took off outside of the restricted area.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point. Like, it's not like he was right up on the rim. Like, he had some hang time with that one and then punched it on John Collins. And the guy had a head contusion. They thought he was concussed. I mean, think about the level of violence that it takes in order to finish a dunk like that. I mean, this dude attacks the rim. He is angry when he's going at the basket. I wouldn't want to be in his way. But here's the crazy thing. I don't even know if that was his best dunk. Like, I mean, I want to go back to his rookie year when he dunked on the Toronto Raptors guy, Utah Watanabe. When he dunked on him, when he went baseline and punched it on him, I thought that might have been his best dunk. But this guy continues to show up with highlight-level plays. But I don't want that to cloud just how complete his game has become. He's gone through a lot in terms of developing and working on his game to make sure that it's well-rounded, and he's got all the tools in his bag. And now you're starting to see that on display in the second half of this season, which is when teams start to take off. I'm serious, man. You can't doubt the Minnesota Timberwolves. I get that they don't have experience. I get that they don't have their front court intact. But assuming health, once the playoffs roll around in a few weeks, like, this is a scary good team that's going to have to be dealt with if you're going to get out of the Western Conference.
Our producer, Jovante Lawrence, asked a question of us, and he said, how far do they need to go in the postseason this year, they being Minnesota, to kind of crown him, right? Because they're not going to win the title this year. That's just not going to happen. They're probably not going to go to the finals. I said if he goes to the conference finals this year, look out. Like, then he, because I think about individual accomplishments. You know, Luka has gone to a conference finals, did not win. And if you're thinking about some of the younger players, Jason Tatum has been to the finals and the conference finals, obviously, multiple times and has not won at all. I thought the conference finals is probably where they need to go for us to sit there and say, holy crap, this guy is going to be unbelievable for a long period of time. That's where I would go, conference finals.
Yeah, I think conference finals. But here's the thing, and this is why I don't want to discount them. They already got a taste of what that life is like with the Denver Nuggets. They got gentlemen swept in the first round of the playoffs last year, so they understand where they've got to get to. The season before that, they lost in a 6-game series to the Memphis Grizzlies. So I think they get what it takes in order to get on par with those true title contenders in the Western Conference. And that's why I think they're poised to go on a deep playoff run. Because if we're doing a temperature check on the rest of those teams that we're viewing as contenders, I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're in that same bag. I mean, they're largely inexperienced. And here's the thing. If you're Minnesota, you don't fear them because you got the same amount of wins that they do. When you look at the L.A. Clippers, are we sure that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to be healthy? And I mean, last time I checked, those guys were hustling backwards a little bit. Nobody really trusts the New Orleans Pelicans. It's been a good story, but I don't view them as a title contender. And then the Sacramento Kings round out the top six.
Exactly.
So if you're the Timberwolves, like, I mean, other than the Denver Nuggets, who are clearly the bar for the entire NBA, who else in the Western Conference scares you?
Nobody.
Nobody. And if you can stay where you're currently at, I mean, there's a chance that you might be able to angle for a top seed. And even if you don't get it, a chance that you could try to avoid the Denver Nuggets until the conference finals, which should be the ultimate goal. So, yeah, I'm not going to dismiss the T-Wolves as true title contenders just because they don't have a lot of experience going deep into the postseason.
Yeah, I'm the same. Evan, you think there's no chance that they could win this year? You just think Denver's too strong?
No, I just don't think. It's not how it goes in the NBA. Like, it's just not. Like, you need to have that kind of conference finals run. It's very rare that you don't take the steps, right? And they haven't had, like, a series, an impressive series win and getting to that. It's very, it's different than other sports. It very much is a gradual progression to get there. You know, we saw it with the Bulls back in the day. We saw it with the Pistons. We've seen it with the Lakers. Like, we've seen it with all of these teams, kind of the gradual. We saw it with the Warriors. Remember, they lost in the second round. Then they come back the next year. They make the coaching change. Jackson occur. They make some adjustments for their lineup. We see that gradual progression. It's next year that everyone's going to pick them to win the championship. Next year is when it's going to happen, because they'll make a run this year, I agree, and then next year it'll be like, okay, well, they made this little move and that little move, and everybody's gonna be like, okay, the Timberwolves are ready for that loss to Denver, that loss to the Clippers, or the whomever is going to really hang with them all summer. That's the way I look at it.
I mean, you might not be wrong, but the way they play defense is extra spicy. I mean, they're the number one rated defensive team in all of basketball. Like, even when Lauri Markkanen makes that free throw in the fourth quarter for the Jazz to take the lead, that's when the Timberwolves go on a 12-1 run. I mean, they go on a 12-1 run, and Anthony Edwards has 8 of those 12 points. Like, again, on any given night against any given opponent, this guy has the potential to be the best two-way player on the floor. Like, that's not hyperbolic. That is just fact. I mean, he's a shooting guard, but he might as well be a linebacker the way he's built. He's 6'4", 230 pounds. He plays the game with a physicality that we usually don't see from backcourt players. And yet, he's able to dictate the complexion of the game with how hard he plays on the defensive end. And if you get those types of opportunities with points in transition like they did last night, again, being able to turn defense into offense – I'm just not ready to dismiss them as a team that can threaten the Denver Nuggets in the West.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to answer it coming up. I want you to think about something. The next face of the league, you have to bet a dollar on one of these two players being the next face of their league, Anthony Edwards or CJ Stroud. Think about those two guys, because those are the two guys that I just sit here and I listen to our conversations that we're all kind of itching towards. Could Anthony Edwards be that guy? Could CJ Stroud be that guy? If you had to bet a dollar on one of those two guys being better than the other one, where are you going to go on that? We're going to find out on that coming up. Plus, Dak's got a new kind of-ish deal with the Cowboys, maybe a little bit. You can fill out your tournament brackets with ESPN. It's free and easy. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out up to 25 men's and women's brackets for more chances to win. You can create and join groups to compete against others. Join the ESPN Radio men's and women's groups to play against us. The app also makes it easy to share your champion and Final Four picks across your social channels. The app provides great info if you want to do a deeper dive on team-by-team previews, expert analysis, and a historical tournament data to help you build a winning bracket with the Tournament Challenge app. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's and women's brackets now.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com for more information. Anthony Edwards, monster dunk last night for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Great season so far. They won against the Utah Jazz. I threw out this question to you guys, and I would love to know your answer. Better chance of becoming the true face of their leagues. Their league, excuse me. Anthony Edwards or CJ Stroud? Where are you going on that? Because they both seem like... Remember ESPN, we had the ESPN the magazine, ESPN yeah. Next? There was yeah. like always like the next wave. Those two would be the cover athletes of ESPN Next right now with Caitlin Clark, I feel like. Edwards or Stroud? Better chance of becoming the face of their league.
I think I would go CJ Stroud, although... I don't like leaving Anthony Edwards on the board, but I just think it's a safer bet to go with a quarterback.
Oh, man, this is a hard one because I'm sitting here thinking about the current faces of the leagues, and those guys aren't going anywhere. Nikola Jokic for the NBA, he's 29 years old, and then Patrick Mahomes, what is he, 28?
And you love both of these guys.
Yeah, so I mean, I mean, facing the league is strong, but I would have to say if you were going to point to one that's next up, I would say Anthony Edwards. Just because there's so much runway. The guy is just, I don't know, man. He's absolutely dominant. He's so young, and yet he's already a grizzled veteran in the NBA, right? I mean, he's what, 22 years old? And yet he's been in the league, what, 4 years? So, I mean, I think Ant-Man is probably the one that's closer to being the face of the league.
All right, so let me alter the question with the same people. If I were to say we're going to have a draft of 25 and under stars across sports, you would need to really find somebody strong to be above these two, correct?
Yes.
That these are like the two best young studs in all of sports right now we're looking at?
Yeah.
I'm probably forgetting a couple of people, but CJ Stroud having that kind of rookie season and Anthony Edwards doing what he's done now 3 years in, and I didn't realize he was only 22. I would have guessed 23, 24.
No.
Yeah, 22 years old, which is just remarkable in what they've done. Now, yesterday, Field Yates reported here on ESPN that Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys agreed to a contract restructure, kind of, a signing bonus type thing where his contract, his salary cap hit gets lowered from, we're going to round up, $60 million to $55 million. You add void years at the end, and you can't do this without him being involved. This tells you what about what's happening with Dallas right now?
Well, Dallas is at least open to mortgaging future cap space, future draft picks in order to add talent on this team to go for it right now while they're in their window. Like, make no mistake about it. The Dallas Cowboys are in the heart of their window. They've got three key players on offense that are going into contract years, that being Dak Prescott, of course, CeeDee Lamb, and then Zach Martin, their all-pro future Hall of Fame guard. So they've got to capitalize on having this collection of talent just because you're not going to be able to keep the band together much longer. You already lost Tyron Smith in free agency. How many more other guys are you going to lose over the coming years? So this is something that the Cowboys have to think about. Kind of the approach that we saw with the Tampa Bay Bucks when they got Tom Brady in 2020, the approach that we saw with the Rams in 2021. If you have a good to really good quarterback, a guy that's not necessarily elite, then you've got to mortgage future assets in the way of cap and draft picks in order to take advantage of a finite period of time that you can win a championship. Right now, the Cowboys are in their window, but that window is probably going to be slammed shut after this season.
They could also create more salary cap relief, excuse me, with that extension if they were going to get that done. And that's, you know, while they are restructuring the contract, reducing the cap hit, and they're working together in that manner, I'm still wondering about the extension. I'm still wondering when that's coming and what is where the status of that is at right now.
But see, here's the thing with me, Smalls. When it comes to the Dak Prescott extension, that's not about the future. That's about this year. Like, I don't look at the extension as something that, oh, well, you know, the Cowboys extending Dak and paying him $60 million a year is going to extend their window. I don't see it that way.
Because of all the money that will be allocated to him?
Yeah, when you're paying Dak $60 million a year for the next 3 or 4 years, I don't think that gives you a larger window to compete for a championship. I just think that guarantees you, you know, better than average quarterback play across the league. Like, that's what Dak is. Like, if somebody were to ask me, where do I think Dak Prescott ranks in terms of the quarterbacks in the National Football League, I would say somewhere between 5 and 10. Like, that's where he is. Like, he's not 5, he's not 10, he's somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how other people would see it, but when you have a quarterback that's good to really good and you're paying him elite quarterback money, you're not extending your window. You're closing your window. So if the Cowboys are going to extend Dak, it would be for the sole benefit of trying to take advantage of this season just because of what the cost of a Dak Prescott extension is going to be.
But you just made a really interesting case as to why you wouldn't extend
Yeah, him. That's what I was thinking.
Right? You made the – like, I don't know that that's what they're going to do, but you almost – in my – how I'm hearing this, CeCe, it's, okay, if you're going to extend them, you're going to have a better chance of winning this year and a worse chance of winning in the future.
Yes.
So why even bother extending him?
Well, that's probably why the extension hasn't gotten done, because right. The Cowboys know the same thing I know. Like, Dak is a really good quarterback. Nobody's saying he's not a really good quarterback. He was second team All-Pro last year. He was. But nobody's going to say he's elite. He ain't Josh Allen. He ain't Joe Burrow. He ain't Patrick Mahomes. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's just not. He's just not. Okay, so what does that mean? If you're paying a really good quarterback, elite quarterback money, you're going to find yourself in trouble when it comes to other core players. And the problem the Cowboys are having to deal with now is CeeDee Lamb feels like he should be the highest paid wide receiver. That's a contract that's going to cost you north of $30 million a year. Micah Parsons feels like he should be the highest paid defensive player. That's going to cost you $35 million a year in order to beat out Nick Bosa's contract. So the Cowboys are in a really tough spot. Now, it's by virtue of really drafting well.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. At some point, you have to look at it and say, we have a window to win a championship, and you have to mortgage your future for the here and now. You can't hedge this year and try to protect your future. I think you have to go for it. And if you don't, then Jerry Jones might not be able to get that all-elusive championship that he's been chasing after for the last 28 years.
But as you're walking through this, and I'm agreeing with you as you're going point by point, I'm thinking, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, the only reason I pay him that money is because I think it extends my window to win. I give him that money because I think I'm not any closer to winning a championship if I don't have Dak Prescott. And even though the market dictates this, what I need to pay him, it's going to be fruitful for me moving forward. If I think by paying him, I'm further away from winning a championship because of the money that's going to be allocated towards him, why would I do that? If I'm thinking that I'm going to pay him money and it's not going to somehow get us closer, if I think it's still going to be a first round exit or that he's not capable of carrying my team, being that force multiplier, as you said, further in the playoffs, why would I spend the money? Why would I do that?
That's a great question. I mean, I guess to guarantee yourself a quarterback, because they're hard to find. And I've said this all along. The Cowboys would be hard-pressed to do better than Dak Prescott. So you get to keep that guy around. You get to maintain your relevancy. But you realize that you're probably a little further away from winning a championship when you're paying him $60 million a year. Here's the thing. The Dak part of it aside, the Cowboys have other needs. The Cowboys desperately need to find an interior defensive lineman. They got to get bigger. Like, last year, the Dallas Cowboys spent 60% of their snaps on defense in dime personnel. No other team in the NFL spent more than 25% of their time, their snaps on defense in dime personnel. They don't have a lot of big people. Like, Osa Odighizuwa, God bless him, he plays hard, but he's not a big man. They drafted Mozzie Smith with a first-round pick. That hasn't necessarily panned out. They got to get some help up front for Micah Parsons and company, especially when they get to the games that matter the most against quality opponents. I got this stat from him, boy, and I couldn't believe it when he said it. The last three playoff losses, you know the common thread? They lost the line of scrimmage. They were outrushed by 150 yards in their last three playoff losses combined. That's a problem.
Wow.
If you're the Dallas Cowboys. You got to get that fixed. You got to get some big people in your front seven. Otherwise, it's going to be more of the same when the style of play changes once we get to the postseason.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys clearly not the ones who got it done, unlike Granger, who gets it done, of course, each and every day.
Oh, yeah. For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done. For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number five to number one.
Best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Ah, yes, it's Tuesday, so you know I got to have some power rankings. This was actually inspired by our very own Harry Douglas.
Oh.
Yeah, Freddie and Harry, 3 to 7 p. here on the ESPN Radio Network. But on Friday, I was doing First Take with Harry Douglas, and he came out with a list of NFL teams that are close to winning their first title. So there are 12 NFL teams that don't have a Super Bowl. And so he was workshopping a top five list of the NFL teams he felt like that were closest to a title. And I said, huh, well, why can't we expand that to all sports teams? So I've got my top five list of teams that are close to winning their first title. All right? Top five teams that are close to winning their first title. That is this week's Power Rankings. Of course, he is Evan Cohen. She is Michelle Smallman. I am Chris Canty, and this is Unsportsmanlike. Javonte, if you will.
Number five.
The Phoenix Suns. Now, listen, I don't think they're close to winning a title this year, but you got Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. So I can never fully dismiss it. They're tied for the fourth shortest odds to win the title this year. I don't know who's doing the math on that one, especially with the way that they've played and Kevin Durant specifically over the last couple of weeks. But they can flip a switch because we know how good KD and D-Book are. They can get hot in a hurry, and I like their starting five, when you consider what Grayson Allen is doing, how he's able to shoot the three-point ball. Yusef Nurkic is a double-double machine. This guy feels like he goes for 20 rebounds every single game. It's just a matter of whether or not those three guys can do enough to offset their deficiencies as a team defensively. I can never discount it. They have so much offensive firepower that they can shoot their way to a conference finals. And if they get into a conference finals, who knows what happens. So I'm going to put the Phoenix Suns here at fifth in terms of the teams that are closest to winning their first championship.
It is. Here's where this is difficult. You guys have hyped up Minnesota today. Best case scenario for Phoenix as we sit here today would be getting Minnesota in the first round, because that means you beat Dallas in the play-in and then you have Minnesota. And I say best case not because of the opponent, but because the other opportunity is to actually play to get in at all.
Well, I don't know. But here's the thing. I don't know that Phoenix or Dallas is going to be in the play-in because they're a half game behind the Sacramento Kings. So it's like the slimmest of margins. Mm-hmm. And we got, what, 12 games to go? So who knows how that's going to shake? So Phoenix might not even be in the play-in. They might be a top 16. You can say the same thing for the Dallas Mavs, especially with the way that Luka and Kyrie are playing. So this thing is going to be interesting the next couple of weeks in terms of how it shakes out. But the Phoenix Suns are checking in at fifth on my list. Javonte?
Number four.
The L.A. Clippers. Now, this is oddly enough, the L.A. Clippers have the second best odds of winning a championship in the Western Conference. I just, behind the Denver Nuggets, I don't know who's doing the math on that one either, especially with the injury history to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. But one thing's for sure, if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are healthy and available, with how James Harden has facilitated that offense and how good a coach Ty Lue is, the LA Clippers would be scary for anybody. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is an absolute dog. Like, we know what he did with the Toronto Raptors a few years ago and elevating that franchise to their first championship. I mean, it's not out of pocket to think that Kawhi Leonard could channel some of that magic and harness it for a two-month stretch and be able to vault his team to title contention. So the LA Clippers finally feel like this is the year that they could take advantage of all of that money Steve Ballmer has spent to assemble this team.
I made an early prediction with the NFL. I said San Francisco was going to win the Super Bowl. I never wavered off of that. I thought the entire time they were, I was wrong. I made the early prediction in the NBA that the Clippers are going to win the title.
You did.
Yeah, you said that.
I'm very much wavering right now. I'm getting very nervous about when Paul George is coming out and saying we don't have an identity. I'm getting nervous. But
at this point in the season?
Well, yeah, exactly. You should know what you're doing. I go back to two things with them. Kawhi in the postseason, you could say people are equal to. You cannot say somebody's better.
No.
When he's healthy. He is that good. And the other thing is, same thing with Ty Lue. You could say people are equal to. Only Eric Spoelstra you could say is better. He's that you said good. I think Ty Lue is a great, great coach.
I do too. I think he's amazing.
Absolutely. So let's keep this thing pushing, Javonte.
Number three
is the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
So they're checking in on third on my list of teams that are closest to winning their first championship. Say what you want about that dude, Josh Allen. He is a special talent. He is absolutely singular in what he does. And when they made the change from offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey and moving this thing over to Joe Brady, you saw a more run-centric offensive attack. I think that's who they have to be in order to elevate to back to the championship rounds. Now, this is a team, this is a quarterback that's already been to the conference championship, so they're not far off. But in terms of what their identity needs to be in order to surpass the Kansas City Chiefs and get to a Super Bowl, they got to run the football. And we saw a little bit of that formula in the divisional round at home. They ran the ball 39 times. Smalls, if they commit to the running game throughout the course of the season and that becomes more of the norm in terms of what we see from them, then I think that does two things. Number one, it protects from the turnover-worthy plays from Josh Allen. Less volume means less opportunities to make mistakes. But then what it also does is it protects your defense while they're going to be a work in progress, because we know that they're losing a lot of key cogs, right? Jordan Poyer is gone. I mean, DJ Jones was injured. Matt Milano was injured this past season. They had to move on from Trey White, too. So they're work in progress on the defensive end, but if you run the football and control time of possession, you protect your defense. It feels like that's the direction that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are taking this football team, and I think that's a good thing.
The Buffalo Bills have been in the mix the past few years. They've given the Kansas City Chiefs not once but twice everything that they can handle in the playoffs. They are right there, and I knew they would be on the list.
Yeah.
But with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in the way, it's hard to really feel like they're going to be able to break through.
Well, listen, third shortest odds of anybody to win the Super Bowl next year. So, I mean, Vegas feels like this is a team that's right there, too.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing that we have to account for. They play in the NFC East. Evan, who's challenging them in the AFC East?
Nobody.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. So they're going to be in the playoffs. That's a big part of it. In order to win a championship, you got to get into the postseason. Yeah. The Buffalo Bills will be into the postseason.
They will.
And I'm not even a Bills guy, and I would say I'm like anti with Josh Allen and stuff like with that team right now. Canty's power rankings, of course. Top five teams that are closest to winning their first championship in CC's lifetime. Go ahead, CC. Number two.
All right. Number two is the Minnesota Timberwolves. We saw that dude last night, the Ant-Man. He is a grown man, especially when he decides he's going to take flight in the lane. John Collins, you should have got the memo, but of course you know, and now the rest of the league knows. Stay out of this dude's way when he decides to get on the launching pad. But just beyond the highlight level plays, what he does with his overall game, how he's able to attack the defense from any area of the court, but then also how he plays defense and sets the tone for his team, it's just really special. The Minnesota Timberwolves are the number one rated defensive team in all of basketball. Like they do a great job of holding people down. Last night, they created 27 points off of 17 Utah Jazz turnovers. When you can have your defense turn into offense for you and get those easy buckets, that lends itself well to being able to have success once we get to the playoffs. So the Minnesota Timberwolves ain't going to be no early exit for them in the postseason this time around. They did that the last couple of years. It's going to be a different story in 2024.
I got to be honest. I have no idea who you're going to put at number one. I have two teams I wrote down. I'm not going to share them yet, but I have no clue who
Take a guess.
Okay.
I want a guess.
You want me to guess?
I want a
guess. Two guesses or one?
I'll give you both guesses.
All right. The two teams I have right now as the closest to winning their first championship in your lifetime, I put either the Cincinnati Bengals or the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Neither. It was a team you saw in the Final Four last year in the NFL.
Let's go to number one.
Lions. Detroit versus everybody. They feel like they embody that mantra from the city in the way that they play. This is a physical outfit. They want to smash you in the mouth. I think some maturity from Dan Campbell is going to go a long ways. We saw him decided to go for it on all of those fourth downs in the second half of that conference championship game against the Niners. Didn't work out well for the Lions. I think that's a lesson for him that it's going to teach him a little more restraint once we get to the postseason and we're playing against better competition. I love analytics. I think they've got their place in sports, but sometimes they can be construed as Bible, as law, and I think that's where it becomes a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. You got to have a feel for the game. You got to trust the heartbeat of the game as a head coach, and I think that's going to be the biggest improvement for the Detroit Lions. Now, I love what they did on the defensive side of the ball in free agency. I mean, they traded for Carlton Davis, so you got a number one corner. You needed to find that guy because your secondary was suspect. You also brought in DJ Reader, a space-eating nose tackle, and then you got Marcus Davenport. Both of those guys are going to help Aiden Hutchinson immensely, and Hutch is one of your best players. So I love what the Detroit Lions are building. They had five All-Pro players from a year ago. I think they're just now starting to take off, and I absolutely expect them to be back in the conference championship game in 2024.
I love that they're atop of this list. I feel like last year they were right there. They had a lead. They could have punched their ticket to the
Super Bowl. Feel like inexperience with all of the coaching gaffes and the drop passes by the players? It just felt like in that moment, inexperience got the better of them against the San Francisco 49ers. It wasn't talent, clearly. I think it was the inexperience from the coach and the inexperience from the players, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
And for some reason, it feels like Dan Campbell in this group is somebody that will take that lesson and they'll apply it and they'll grow from it.
Yeah.
And when I look at the NFC, who do they have to be afraid of? Why would I be afraid
of Green Bay in their own division?
That's the only team. That's what I was about to say. The only team that I would be afraid of is Green Bay. It's the only team.
But if I'm Detroit, I went further than them. I feel established. Why would I be afraid of them? I'm not saying that I don't think the Packers are going to be a formidable opponent, because they absolutely are. But if I'm Detroit, I'm not scared of them.
Here's the thing. You just came a bounce past off of Kirby Joseph's face mask from going to the Super Bowl.
So
like if Brock Purdy doesn't bounce that pass off his face mask and Brandon Ayuk made that catch, the Lions are going to the Super Bowl. So that's the list, Smalls. We got the Detroit Lions, number one. We've got the Minnesota Timberwolves, number two. Buffalo Bills, three. L.A. Clippers, four. Phoenix Suns, five. Teams that are closest to winning their first championship. You are my accountability partner. Any objections, any omissions?
Love the list, but the one name, Evan said it, that I thought might be on there is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your brackets. Maybe we'll have a first-time champion in there on the college side of it here. Join the ESPN Radio men's and women's groups to play against us with the Tournament Challenge app. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Mel Kiper is going to join us later in the show. He's got his new mock draft coming out today. Very interested to see who he has at two and who he has at three. We know it's going to be Drake May and Jaden Daniels in some order, right, as to what's going to happen there. But which team is drafting where now with Washington, New England? Which quarterback is going where? You know, Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter yesterday, part of our ESPN NFL draft coverage, tweeted out, always a chance Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo say, let's solve the biggest piece of the puzzle first and draft a QB at three. But if they don't, love Mayor McCarthy, I wouldn't crush them for a trade out to collect capital. In addition, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, has suggested the same thing for New England specifically to trade out of that number three pick overall. Here's the problem with this. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, has shown us that you get 4 years max. That's it. Right? Because if you look at the career that Belichick had, he had 20 with Brady and four after. And after those four, they were not satisfactory enough for him to continue. So are you going to delay getting a quarterback when you have to look at it as Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf have 4 years? Are you going to delay getting the quarterback or are you going to go right away? So now I ask, which team has more pressure to get it right at 2/3, New England or Washington?
Well, first of all, I would say that the Washington Commanders have more pressure to get it right because they don't get the benefit of the doubt with that fan base, right? Think about how bad it's been over the last two decades under Dan Snyder's tenure as the owner. Now, I get it, a new ownership group and Josh Harris, he shouldn't have to pay for his sins, but that's the case. Like, you don't get the luxury of time when you're Josh Harris. You have to make a big splash, especially with how uninspiring the hire of Dan Quinn was when we felt like there were other coaching candidates out there that had a better resume. So I just think from this standpoint, the Washington Commanders absolutely have to get this right, more so than the New England Patriots. Because listen, you had a quarter century where you were one of the most dominant teams in all of football. We've never seen a run like the New England Patriots had with going to 9 Super Bowls and winning 6 of them over a span of, what, 24 years. We've never seen that. So I think that the Commanders in this situation have more pressure to get it right, especially knowing that they're going to have their pick of two of the top three quarterbacks as opposed to what New England has to do, where they're sitting at number three and they have to settle for whoever's left on the board.
Because of that sustained run of success, I think New England actually has more pressure on them than Washington does. Because in Washington, they're still celebrating the fact that the Dan Snyder era is over, that they have rid themselves of this problem they have had for a long time. And while I think that Washington is making some really smart moves and they're building towards things, I think for at least a little bit, that's going to be enough for Washington football fans, for Commander fans. Whereas conversely, the standard is a certain level in New England because of the success that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have had there. And I think it's always really, really hard to be the one to follow the guy, even if the guy didn't have success over the past couple of years. And in Gerard Mayo taking over for Bill Belichick, this is not just a new head coaching hire. We are going to be scrutinizing every single thing that he does and every decision that the New England Patriots make. And I think, therefore, they, out of the two, need to get the quarterback position right more.
Let me ask you a question. Do you get a grace period in terms of how bad it was at the end with Belichick? Like, if you're Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf, can you pin the struggles of the 2024 Patriots on how bad Belichick was when it came to drafting players, when it came to developing some of your younger talent? Like, I just think that you do get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt in terms of your choice if you're Robert Kraft because of how buttoned up your franchise has been over the last two decades.
I could see that. We have a mess to clean up. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time. I would say normally yes, but Boston fans, I don't think would allow that grace period to happen.
Great point.
Yeah, we're not dealing with any particular fan base. You're dealing with Boston sports fans.
I think that's crazy because Wolf and Mayo were there. If you look at all of their moves they've made this offseason, it's re-signing all the guys that Belichick drafted that everyone said were so bad. They re-signed Michael Owenu. They re-signed Kyle Duggar. They re-signed all of these guys. What was the biggest splash in free agency that they made? Antonio Gibson? A running back who's a third down back for them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the biggest splash they made right now? Like, all they've done is actually say, you know what? We like the guys that Belichick drafted. You know why? Elliott Wolf was part of the drafting. So my answer to this question as to what New England does at three, could they trade down? Who has more pressure, Washington at two or New England at three? I'm going to answer a question with a question. Mm. Tell me what Minnesota is going to do with 11 and 23. Because that's really the key to all of this. How much is Minnesota willing to give up to get up high? And is it high enough to get to where New England gets to? Or is it just high enough to get to where the Chargers are at number five? And does New England sit there and say, we'll wait. We'll see if Minnesota is going to do what we all expect them to do, which is trade 11 and 23 for five. And then we'll say to Minnesota, sure, we'll flip three for five, and you're going to give us next year's first. That doesn't mean they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But that just, as crazy as it sounds, Minnesota now has a huge key in this draft because none of us are sitting here believing they're just going to stand pat, and take 11 and 23. We all believe they're going to try to trade up to get J.J. McCarthy. Is that correct? Yeah. We're all on board with that?
Yeah, it feels like it.
How high can they go? How high can Minnesota go? Can they get to five?
They can get pretty damn high with 11 and 23. I mean, I guess the question that I would have is, if you're in New England, do you want to take a franchise quarterback this year?
Yes.
Like, but,
I do.
But you can say you do as a fan, but I don't know that the Patriots see it that way. I don't know that they feel that their roster is in position to do that. And again, like I said, there are three elite quarterback prospects in this class. The New England Patriots are not going to have their pick of the three. They're going to have whichever one is left over after the first two go off the board.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo, if you don't like the third one that's left on the board, do you consider doing the dance with the Minnesota Vikings? I think that should absolutely be a consideration, especially if the difference in the grade that you have for that third quarterback off the board isn't that great in comparison to what we're going to see in next year's quarterback class that's headlined by Shedeur Sanders. I get it. It's the long game. But a big part of this has to be about supporting a franchise quarterback properly and developing him properly. And here's the thing. The Jacoby Brissett signing – just let me know that you don't plan on playing that guy very early anyway.
Good.
So my point is, if you're not going to play him early on this season, if at all, then what precludes them from trading out of the number three spot and just taking a quarterback next year?
You know what it reminds me of in a weird way? Remember the NBA draft when it was Zion, Ja Morant, and R.J. Barrett? And everybody said it was a big three of the draft.
It was only two.
It
was only two.
But R.J. Barrett's been good. But
no, he's not. But see, that's the thing. You can say he's been good, but he's not on the same level as those other guys. And so my point is, if you can convince if somebody is convinced or they have a conviction that this other third quarterback is going to be as good as the two highest rated ones on your board, then let them come up and get the guy, and you get all of the draft capital
and
continue
just said
to build.
But CeCe, you said you believe this draft may have three franchise quarterbacks.
I do.
Why in the world would you ever trade out of three then?
I guess my point is, if you feel like there are talented quarterbacks in next year's class, then you can go ahead and punt on this year, knowing that your roster is in no way, shape, or form ready to support a young franchise quarterback.
Well then if you trade out of three, the number one thing you need is not picks this year, it's picks next year. That's what, if you're saying you're going to bank on next year's draft, I'm not worried about 11 and 23. I'm worried about the 2025 first.
Well, you can still take a player at 11 and trade 23, or you can take a player at 23 and trade 11. You can still do that. There's still different ways they can go about it.
We're Unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.